it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Featured artist Friday, Cord. Anything you want to hear from them, send your request. Nolan McGraw, applause for text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, and Quick Draw. Ravens 7.5-point dogs at home Sunday against the Rams. Here to talk about that. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's from the Baltimore Banners, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning, first of all. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing good. All right. And all the guys that returned to practice yesterday, limited, unlimited, whatever the case may be, we'll throw Emory Jones into this mix as well, most likely to play Sunday against L.A.?
I don't think any of them are going to play, frankly. I guess I would probably put Marlon as closest based on how he was kind of moving around, but even then, in the viewing period, open to reporters, wasn't doing all the DB drills. He was last in line in some of the DB drills. So you put that together with the fact that Emory Jones, you know, still needs some time to ramp up, I think, just before he can be a meaningful contributor to this team on game day. And, you know, the fact that Pat Ricard, the Ravens coaches, at least John Harbaugh, was targeting the Chicago game for his return. It seems unlikely that they would bring him back 2 weeks ahead of schedule. So I think Marlon probably looked the best, or you know, has the shortest path back to the playing field. I just don't think any of those guys are going to play.
Now, Jonas, listening, and you were standing there yesterday, Zach Orr. I mean, to me, that was kind of a joke. I mean, like I listened to it, you know, and I'm listening to him. I say, seriously, you know, that's my leader? No way.
What did you take issue with specifically?
All of it. Where it's like the biggest thing was like Todd Monken says, I got to do a better job this. I got to do that. Never hear Zach saying that, you know, and then we talked about it earlier. I mean, we're all religious dudes, but, you know, that really, you know, saying that at that time, you know, I didn't quite understand how that fit in.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really maybe I was too busy tweeting to, you know, take issue with his accountability. I mean, the quote that stuck out to me was he was asked about the pass rush, and he said, we have to be more creative. We have to execute better. So at least there was some ownership there. I think Zach's been pretty steady in telling us, like, who he is throughout the highs and the lows of his Ravens tenure. Like, you know, if you drop him in a 18-0 team or an 0-18 team, I think he'd handle press conferences pretty much the same way. And I'm sure Ravens fans would probably like a guy who's, you know, maybe wearing a little bit more emotions on his sleeves at this point, considering just how bad the defense has been. But I think he's, you know, a pretty resolute guy with some perspective considering where he's been and, you know, what he had to give up. So it didn't rub me the wrong way necessarily as someone who's, you know, has an interest in seeing what this team does. But it was, it didn't really feel too much like a coach who was preparing to make possibly his last press conference in Baltimore, which was a little bit jarring, just the dissonance of his optimism and the overall pessimism around that unit and what could await him in the bye week.
Well, the thing, you know, the other thing he said, you know, like that we need to play with passion. You know, the Ravens got to bring back the passion. You know, I mean, you've never heard that about the Baltimore Ravens, you know, not having passion, but that's what you see. You see that too.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I've never played football, never coached football. So it's hard for me to look with too much judgment at some of these quotes, but like him saying last week that the response that they need for more turnovers is to hit guys harder. That not working at all against the Texans, and then for him to kind of double down on that yesterday, basically saying they need to play with more physicality. It's like, I mean, I guess it makes sense in like the pantheon of college football coach quotes to say that you need to basically double down on your physicality and you need to hit harder, run faster, do all this kind of stuff. But, I mean, at a certain point, it's clear this team needs some help with the smaller detail. It's not where you're hitting a guy when he's carrying the ball. It's like your alignments. It's your communication. It's everything that this team is failing on a small level. So I kind of rolled my eyes at that, but obviously I never played the game, never coached the game, and I do think that there is a certain level of intensity that needs to be ratcheted up. I just don't think it's going to, you know, magically fix their takeaways issue.
Hey, Jonas, how, from your knowledge, because you're out there every day, how much do you think or feel that Harbs and Chuck Pagano are involved in the defense?
I mean, I know they're involved in defense. Like, all you need to do for Harb is to go back and look at the Hard Knocks from last year, where he's sitting in on the meetings. I don't know if he's crafting the game plans, but I think as with a lot of the senior defensive coaches, there is a certain creative collaboration. Like, you know, even as far back as Wink Martindale, when he was DC, Drew Wilkins, I think, was the guy who was designing a lot of those kind of bespoke pressure packages and Sims and Creepers and stuff. So I don't know whether Chuck has taken on more ownership or less ownership, or he's contributing in ways that he wasn't before. But, I don't think Zach Orr is siloed in his approach to these games. I just, it's hard for me to know, what has waxed and what has waned during the course of this losing streak.
Jonas, are we going to see any changes in the offensive line for Sunday?
I don't think so.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, 58-81-057. That was short and sweet. Let's move on with the game itself. 7.5-point dogs are the Ravens. We know the bye is looming, and then the Bears are coming to town, and they're warm and fuzzy with the way Caleb Williams is playing with their new head coach, Ben Johnson, there. Rams are coming off a loss, Jonas. They're on a long week. You know all the particulars of this game. How? Because I don't think they're going to win. The Ravens, that is. I think a lot of people feel the same way. Obviously, the odds makers. How do they pull the stunner? Do you see it happening? And are we looking at 1-5 with changes perhaps at the bye, or 2-4 hoping that Lamar is ready for Chicago?
Yeah, I don't have them winning this. I have the Rams winning pretty handily. I think something like what I picked, 34-17. To me, the easiest path to, or the simplest path to the Ravens having a shot in this one is probably the hardest, which is just taking away Puka Nacua. I mean, like the middle of this Ravens defense has been an absolute black hole for them. Like, I think they've allowed something like 350 plus yards on 85% accuracy on passes between the numbers, 5 to 15 yards downfield. And guess what, guys? That's exactly where Puka Nacua does his best work. I don't think he's 20 for 20 on catches in that sweet spot this year. And you're putting that together with a Ravens run defense that is probably going to get bossed around by the Rams, which is going to make those play action shots even more vulnerable for them. Maybe this is a all-time Kyle Hamilton game where he's able to man him up in man coverage and take away some throwing lanes in zone coverage because we expect him to be moved closer to the line of scrimmage. But again, like, he's one of probably two or three guys who's going to be occupying that middle. And you need Teddy Buchanan locked in. You need Trent Simpson locked in. You need Jake Hummel locked in if he's playing. And I just don't really trust any of those guys to be above average pass defenders at this point. So you put all that together with the fact that this is a really, really good Rams pass rush. And even though Ronnie Stanley should be back, Roger Rosengarten is back to full participation, I just don't think the Ravens are going to get enough push in their run game to really make life easy for themselves on these passing downs.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joins us every Friday. Jonas, appreciate the time as always. Have fun counting those Eric Dickerson jerseys at M&T Bank Stadium. On
I will not be doing anything outside in the rain. I can see you guys there.
All right, Jonas, always fun to talk. Hey, we'll come back and whip around what happened in the world of sports last night, whether it was a Thursday night football extravaganza. Man, Eagles, come on. They got bossed around. To borrow a word from Jonas there, that Keith Kavanaugh previews Maryland, Nebraska. Then we'll do our picks. We were all three of us 0-1 after last night's disaster, if you want to look at it that way. And then Ribbon It with Ryan coming up at noon. We'll talk about the baseball playoffs. Got some staying alive going on with Detroit and with the Cubs. But for the Phillies, Heartbroken Hotel. Yeah, we're breaking in all these song things. You get it?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Thursday Night Football. As heard here on 105.7 The Fan, the Giants taking on the Eagles. New York lost at New Orleans last week. Congratulations to the Saints. And you know, they finally got Kellen Moore, his first win. Rookie head coach there. But the Giants, they're going to go in there and trounce these guys. Instead, turn the ball over a bazillion times, which led all of us to believe we really didn't break the game down in great detail. Full disclosure here on the show. Yesterday, it was a throwaway. What is it? Like, literally, we'll take the Eagles. Who cares?
It was during a...
saying
Eagles,
goodbye.
Eagles, yeah.
And then they go out there last night and spank Philadelphia. And a guy who was a fourth-round draft pick, who was a stud last year at Arizona State, was very studly against the defending Super Bowl champs.
Mitchell out. They're going to Adoree Jackson's side a lot. Here's Scandaboo to the end zone. Touchdown. The right guard, Ben Roten, pulled, led the way. Scandaboo to the end zone.
Al Michaels on the call prime along with Kirk Herbstreit. Cam Scataboo, 17 carries, 98 yards, three.
Yeah.
Touchdowns on the last one. Did the Ozzie Smith flip in the end zone, which was brilliant to watch. Jackson Dart rush for a TD. Philadelphia takes it on the chin. Back-to-back losses for them. 34-17 was the final score. So, I mean, little Jordan Humphrey came off the practice squad and looked like, Raymond Berry running around out there. What do we make of the Giants here?
It gives them hope. It gives them hope. And if not for this year, for the future, it gives them hope. Bob, if there's one stat, just looking at the stats in that game last night, third down efficiency, Eagles, 1 of 9. Giants, 11 out of 16. 11 out of 16. And 14 first downs on rushing. I mean, they ran it right down their throats, Bob.
Yes, they did. So the Giants, Jackson Dart has energized the team. I mean, he brings some swag to them after the game on Prime. They're tearing shirts off, Hulk Hogan style, and with a Fitzmagic. It was a crazy thing to behold. But if you're the Eagles now, they've already had a team meeting. A.J. Brown's been whining about his targets or lack thereof. Jalen Hurts is under fire. Devontae Smith was wide open.
Oh, my God. Like 15 yards.
Which would have been a touchdown. Then he throws the pick, which killed the drive. But, last year they were struggling around this time. And 2 years ago, they hit this early October wall and then start to percolate. So, do we still view them as formidable, or are they starting to get exposed a little bit, and it's the infighting starting to maybe tear them up a little bit?
I think add all that stuff together, Bob, and the fourth new offensive coordinator in 4 years. So, I mean, that doesn't help. So, Bob, I don't even know the guy's name in Philly, but he is what Zach Orr is to us, he is to the Philadelphia radio stations.
Kevin Petullo?
Yes. He is getting crucified in Philly.
All right, now the tush push.
Ugh.
I mean, it's becoming a thing. It is boring. It's effective. It's helped them win a lot of games. But false starts every play.
Yeah.
Either officiate it or get rid of it. They do it. better than anyone does it. Other teams try to duplicate.
The Ravens do it.
Should it be eliminated, like the shift, which, by the way, was for the betterment of baseball, in my humble opinion, and I'm as old school. I want them to wear, like, the cotton uniforms or whatever the hell it was. But what are we doing here with the tush push moving forward?
Bob, if you can't officiate it, you got to get rid of it. And, you know, what other play does anybody talk about all the time? You know, it would be me. I would say get rid of it. I mean, nobody has gotten hurt yet from it.
No.
But they can't officiate it. And it's a total huge advantage for Philly. And it shouldn't be.
False start after false start after false start. We saw it again last night. It's 58-81-05-7. The Fan whip around. The Canes, Hurricanes, that is, beat the Devils 6-3. Jarrison Miller, 2 goals apiece. Charlie will be there maybe this year,
hopefully
certainly by
April,
next year. Yeah, but we talked about it yesterday. Carolina, remember they cunned up the Caps. I mean, off to a good start here against the Devils.
Yeah, it was 2-2 after 2, Bob, and they ended up winning 6-3. I mean, they just wear you down. That's what they are. You know, they just wear you down. And I think almost every team has played at least one game now. You know, and what can you tell? Who knows?
Yeah, exact. Caps tomorrow at the Islanders. So we'll talk about that next week. Now, what happened to Penn State again last night against who?
Clarkston. Yeah, we lost 6-4. Up 4-2 going into the third. And kind of dominating, you know. It was not pretty. We gave up a shorthanded goal, which is ridiculous to do that. It was sloppy, Bob. Like, against Arizona State, we were fast, physical, and on top of things. Last night, you know, the banner got raised for the Final Four, and who knows. But it was not... Because I was at the 2 Arizona State games. It was not like that was something I
did. Hadn't they overlook
seen.
Them?
Overlook them,
or
Bob,
were they just old geezers who
didn't have good practices? Who knows what? Well, the thing is now with all these college teams, because the number one team, Western Michigan, they lost to like Ferris State. Michigan State lost to somebody, and they're in a situation where all these Canadian kids come down now, which they're allowed. So we have like 8 freshmen. And, Bob, they were playing against – and when those kids that are coming down, they're playing against 17- and 18-year-olds. Now, last night, those were 22- and 23-year-olds. So it's a – like Charlie said, Dad, they all had beards and everything else, you know. So they – that was the first – they were playing against men. It was boys versus men. We've got some boys – or we've got some boys, we've got some men. Our boys need to become men.
Yeah, a bunch of lumberjacks, it sounds like there. This day in sports history, real quick, October the 10th, 2 football tidbits. First, we'll start with the Baltimore Colts, 1976 Memorial Stadium. Don McCauley, North Carolina, rushed for 2 touchdowns. Burt Jones threw a touchdown to Glenn Dowdy, ran for 1 as well. Ray Oldham got a pick. Sack Pack got to Earl Morrill. Bob Greasy 3 times, 28-14. Colts over the Dolphins. And then 2010, 15 years ago, down in M&T. Ravens beat the Broncos 31-17. Ray Rice rushed for a couple of touchdowns. Joe Flacco and Willis McGahee also rushed for TDs as the Ravens win 31-17, improved to 4-1 on the year. Maryland tomorrow taking on Nebraska. They blew the big lead last week against Washington. They're getting 6.5 again this week against the Cornhuskers. Both teams 4-1. What's going to happen? And there's a big basketball recruit on campus this weekend, too. Keith Cavanaugh next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about what's happening in Terrapin Land, College Park from TerrapinTimes.com. Window Nation guest hotline, Keith Cavanaugh. Keith, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. Beautiful day. Hopefully the rains hold off till tomorrow night. for that 330 tilt with Nebraska, who's coming in pretty hot right now, 4-1, just beat Michigan State. And, of course, Dana Holgerson's coming in with the air raid offense. They're averaging 44 points a game, completing 50% of their third downs, only three turnovers. But on the other side of the ball, this will be the best secondary Maryland has met. But you got to give Matt Rhule credit. Everywhere he goes, he wins. And he'll probably be the next Penn State coach any day now.
Now, not to harp on what happened last week too much, but quickly, Keith, your synopsis of what went wrong at the end of the third through the fourth quarter.
Well, you got to give Maryland credit for finding new ways to lose every week.
Right, here we go.
The clearly, watching that game, Washington did not get off the plane, as you like we like to say euphemistically, until the second half. And that's when they caught fire. Maryland was up 23 at the half. They should have been up 30-3, but they had too many field goals. So when Washington awoke from their West Coast slumber and Maryland went into play not to lose offensive mode and still can't get the run game going, and when Washington started exploiting Maryland's secondary, which had a meltdown with Joyner and all his histrionics out there, and that flag, and that seemed to be a mental momentum shift. Washington made the adjustments. Maryland didn't, you know. Defensively, Ryan Walters, he went with different looks, zone, man, and that got Malik off pace. Malik was staring down too many first reads and not getting through his progressions, but just meltdown city. And you know, that was a very winnable game that could have been 5-0 and rated and ranked and so forth and so on. And then of course, after the game, their second best, probably their first best commitment, Kamari Bing from St. Francis, who was actually their first commitment way back last year. He decommitted. He's probably going to go to Ohio State instead. I'm not saying the loss was equivalent, but it was a rough day there. But Maryland just got out-coached, and they had some discipline meltdowns, and they didn't adjust, and other teams do, and Washington's too good. And when they finally awoke, they smoked them.
Now, for Nebraska, and you mentioned some of the strengths that they have, how does Maryland generate a running game that is not predicated on what Malik Washington does? How do they get this going here?
Well, possibly they haven't been able to. Yeah, they haven't even been able to against the lesser of this schedule, which is most of the schedule. Dylan Raiola, of course, he's a hotshot quarterback, 75% completion rate, 12 TDs, only two picks, 6'3". 220. He can get off schedule if you get to him and rattle him. He can get happy feet, but he's got a big arm. Maryland's O-line has been exceptional and over exceeded expectations in pass pro, but run block has been very lacking. So they don't have balance. They can't get the RPO game going. Everything's on Malik's shoulders, who's been scattershot. However, those two Farouk drops last week.
Yeah.
Not on Malik, and those would have been, at least one touchdown, if not two. so Nebraska has struggled a bit at times on the O-line and D-line. And, they only lost 30-27 to Michigan. Then they struggled most of the game offensively against Michigan State before coming back to win that one 38-27. I think they're 22 in one poll, 30 in another poll. But it was a momentum buster for the Terps. They had the sellout last week. Again, this year, attendance, max capacity there is 46 after they eliminated 6,000 seats when they refigured the seating. So, maybe they can get 35, high 30s tomorrow. But had they won, there probably would have been another sellout, and the momentum would have kept going. But all these little things we see haunt them with each year. And Nebraska right now, this is Nebraska's first true road game, okay? So we'll see how they adjust. But this is a program on the ascension under Rhule. Remember, he inherited a mess. They were 7-6 last year, 4-1 now. And, they're going to be better in the trenches, and this will be the best secondary Malik has seen. So, they got some great corners, a great receiver in Ja'Cory Barnes, and their running back, Emmett Johnson, 5'11", 200. He's already over 500 yards. But air raid offense coming, so the Maryland secondary's got to get together mentally and physically for this week.
How do they win, Keith? How do the Terps win Saturday?
Well, overall, Vinny, Maryland does have better athleticism on the edges. They just need to exploit that. They also need to get early and often to Rayola to get him off schedule because he can get a little frazzled at times. You remember he was a top five quarterback back in 2024. But Matt Rhule is a great coach, and he's very tight with Pat Kraft, who was his boss at Temple. And the rumors are pretty loud. Happy Valley is combusting up there. So, you know, we could see him there next year. But that's besides the point. Maryland's has cut down on, you know, for the most part, the egregious penalties. They're still having the drop issues. But until they get a run game and some more balance, and now the schedule is getting tougher and tougher because now all of a sudden UCLA's got some mojo. You have to fly out there. Fortunately, it's a 7 p.m. game. But they're playing renewed with a lot of renewed spirit, and that's going to be a tough tilt out there where, you know, 2 weeks ago we thought that would have been a gimme. So this will be interesting. I like how Maryland's freshman edge players, Stewart and Mathis, are really collapsing pockets. So hopefully they can get to Rayola. You know, Nebraska's front seven is solid but unspectacular, but their back end is very good. So hopefully Malik doesn't have any turnovers there. Got to hope the fans come out again and try to continue support this last home game for a couple weeks here. So we'll see how it goes. Also on the basketball side, they do have a top high four-star visitor coming in tomorrow for an official Big Four, Latrell Almond, out of Petersburg, Virginia. Don't even bring up Moses Malone. Yeah, 6'8", Big Four. Maryland's throwing the bum rush on him at the end here, enhancing his NIL package. Obviously, they have the two commits so far in Brown and Tambadou. Probably not going to get a point guard in this class. May go portal shopping and then holding out for Baba Oladotin, the number one player in the country out of Montgomery County, Blake High School.
Keith Cabot, TerrapinTimes.com. Keith, always great to talk to you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Keith.
You too, guys. Thank you. Here's bye-bye.
Keith Cabot. When we come back, time for picks. We all started with an L. Let's move upward, shall we, here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's football pick'em starts now. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
All right, we got to cut through this like Scataboo. Cut through the Eagles' defense last night. Time for picks. Vinny, Eddie, Nolan McGraw, Featured Arts Friday, it's Cord. Nolan, let's get this party started, man.
All right, let's start in college football here. Ohio State taking on Illinois. Ohio State hefty favorites here as the road team. 14.5 is the spread. It's tough for me to pick against that, as boring as it may be, but I'll go Buckeyes.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Buckeyes, too. Illinois had a big comeback last week and beat SC at home. They'll be better at home. If it was at Ohio State, I think it's a blowout, kind of like the Indiana game. But I think this will be closer.
Buckeyes.
All right, how about Alabama traveling to take on Missouri? Alabama, another road favorite here. 2.5 is the spread. Tricky one for me, but I'll go boring again. I'll go with the favorite team. I'll go Bama.
Yeah, Bama's playing good right now, so I'm going to stick. You know, and they pummeled Vandy last week, too, and then they beat Georgia the week before. So you know what they're saying at Penn State, Bob? Because the kid that left the Penn State from the portal, the younger kid, he's the starting quarterback at Missouri, so they kept the wrong guy.
Wow. Well, speaking of Missouri, I know Simpson's playing out of his mind right now for Alabama. I'm going with the Tigers. I mean, I'm already in last place. What do I have to do? Where can I go? Farther down.
You're back by 12, so okay, a lot of work to do.
I'm the Guardians.
Take a game a week.
The Guardians catching the Tigers.
One game a week. All right, here we go. Nebraska traveling to come here play Maryland. 6.5 is the spread in favor of the Cornhuskers in this one. Not much respect for the Terps, even though they are playing a better brand of football. And I'm going to do it. I'm picking Maryland. I mean, I picked them in the cupcake games earlier, but in a real game for the first time, I'm picking Maryland.
You know what? I was going to pick Maryland until Keith was talking about this is the best secondary they're going to play, and then the Terps can't run the ball. That's a bad look. So I'll take the Huskers.
Keith Cavanaugh, he's always wrong. I'm going Maryland.
That propaganda. He's on the Nebraska payroll.
That's right. How dare he's already pipping rule for the Penn State job.
All right. How about a home favorite here for a change of pace? Indiana traveling to take on Oregon. Oregon, one of the best teams in the country. They're favored by 7.5. Quack, quack. We'll go with the Ducks.
Me too.
Same here.
Oklahoma and Texas, Red River rivalry. Line here, we'll see if Mateer plays. I think he's in line to play.
Yeah, it looks that way.
But the spread actually favors Texas ever so slightly, 1.5 as the home team. I'm going to go Oklahoma, though. I mean, they're just way more solid, way less of a mystery.
Yeah, and I don't think Arch Manning hasn't played good in a big game. So I'm with you. And Mateer hadn't played in 3 weeks, you know. I'll take Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was taking Oklahoma even if he didn't play. Arch Manning hasn't played well against anybody. Quite frankly, let's go Boomer Sooner, baby.
Florida and Texas A&M. A&M favored by 7.5. I don't really trust Florida at all. I'll go A&M.
Yeah, Florida had the big win.
Against Texas.
Yeah, but I'll go A&M because it's at home.
Yeah, I'm going Texas A&M.
And lastly, here in college, Michigan and USC, the Trojans favored by 2.5.
I'm going to take the Trojans at home.
All right, I'm going to get funky. I'll go Michigan here. Road upset.
Hey, this would what a traditional Rose Bowl matchup.
Yep.
Now they're in the same conference, which goes to show you that the world's off its axis here. But I'm taking the Trojans.
All right, over to the NFL. We got our, what is this, London game to kick off, 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. Denver and the Jets. Denver favored by 6.5. No surprises there. Can the Jets get their first win? I say no.
I say no, too. That defense is too strong.
Yeah, let's go Bo Nix and the Broncos.
All right, how about Cowboys and Panthers here? A pair of two-win teams. Dallas favored by 3.5 on the road, but I'm going to go with Carolina to get this one done.
See, Carolina plays good at home. They're 2-0 at home, but Dak is hotter than hot can be right now, so I'm taking Dallas.
Sorry, Rashawn, I'm taking the Cowboys, which means they're going to lose.
Cardinals traveling to take on the Colts. The Colts favored by 7.5, the number one seed in the AFC as it stands right now. I'll go with the horseshoe.
Kyler Murray hadn't even practiced yet this week. I'll take Indy.
Yeah, I'm going to Indy as well. My buddy Joe Griffith, rest in peace, big Colts fan, even when they left Baltimore for some reason.
Seahawks and Jags, here's a good game. And let's see, spread actually favors the road team Seahawks by 1.5. No respect for the Jags after that big win, but I actually think this is a letdown spot. I'm going Seattle.
I think it's momentum for Jacksonville. I think they keep stacking. I'll take Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm going Rodney Dangerfield and the Jags getting 1.5 at home.
Chargers and Dolphins. Chargers the road team, but still favored by 3.5. I think they bounce back here. Much better performance against the Dolphins.
Yeah, even though they have no line and no running backs, you know, I'll take the Chargers.
I said I'm never picking Miami again, right?
Yeah.
No running backs, no offensive line?
No.
I'm going Chargers.
Oh, you know you want to.
I know. I really do. But now Miami will find a way to screw it up. So I'm going to go.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I'm going my Chargers.
Well, you can pick the Dolphins when they play the Ravens in a couple weeks.
Well, that might be a no-brainer at that point.
How about AFC North showdown here? Browns traveling to take on the Steelers. Pittsburgh favored by 6.5 at home. But I'm going gutsy here. I think Cleveland gets it done. Ooh. Superb defensive performance here. They'll get after Rodgers, make him uncomfortable. It'll be ugly, 13-10 type of game, but they'll get it done.
Cleveland's defense plays much better at home. They don't play a full four quarters on the road. They haven't yet. And Pittsburgh's, you know, had the bye, well rested. I'm take Pittsburgh.
I'm going Cleveland. I think Judkins is going to run, and I think Gabriel's going to make a couple of plays, and who knows if we'll see Shador, the most publicized third, second-string quarterback in the history of the NFL.
At least he's actually answering questions. He's not doing his best mime impression.
I mean, come on. He got his fifth-round draft pick.
Patriots and Saints here. This one being played in New Orleans. Patriots favored by 3.5. Don't overthink it, game of the week. Patriots?
I'll take the Patriots, too. Yeah. I like how they're playing.
I don't want to get all bold proclamations saying that they're going to make the playoffs, but New England's going to beat New Orleans. So I'll go Pates. Hats, whatever the hell.
Titans and Raiders here. Raiders hosting both 1-4 teams. Vegas favored by 3.5. Give me Vegas.
Yeah, I'll take Vegas too. Tennessee lucked out to win.
Is Bowers playing?
You said probably not. Right?
Well, he was trending in an opposite direction of being on the. I'm going to go Tennessee.
2 in a row.
I think they will find a way to win. Talk about momentum. Now, Raiders are going to have to drop a ball before they get in the end zone, and
which they're capable
and then
of.
Intercept a pass and then drop it, and the other team will pick it up and run it in. But yeah, I'm going to go Tennessee.
All right, Bengals and Packers, your biggest spread of the week. Green Bay favored by 14.5 at home here. Debut in a Bengals uniform for Joe Flacco. It's Green Bay. It's got to be Green Bay.
I think they're going to hit Joe, and they're going to hit Joe, and they're going to keep hitting Joe. So, yeah, Micah Parsons is going to have a couple sacks.
Yeah, coming off a bye and a tie.
Yeah.
Green Bay. Hey, look, I love Joe Flacco, and he's never buying a beer in Baltimore ever again, but I think he's toast. And I think he's going to turn the ball over, and they're going to get blown out. Go Pack.
All right, 49ers and Buccaneers. It's going to be a pretty good game here. Both 4-1. Tampa Bay favored by 3.5 at home. San Francisco's had a little extra time to rest, the mini bye, if you will, after that really nice victory over the Rams. But I don't know. I don't see this one. I'm going Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm going Tampa also. I like the way Baker's playing, you know, and Mac Jones. I mean, what's he got, a knee and a hit? I mean, he got beat up in that Rams game. So I'll take Tampa.
Yeah, I'm going Tampa. And Godwin's not going to play, but Buka, the kid from Ohio State. Hey, White filled in admirably for Bucky. Let's go Buccaneers.
All right, and Sunday Night Football, Detroit traveling to take on Kansas City. Please, can we get Kansas City out of primetime? We don't need it anymore. It's okay. Let's just move past it. And I smell something fishy here with this line. Kansas City favored by 2.5. I know they're at home, but I mean, come on. The Lions are just way better all around. This is an easy choice for me, Detroit.
Yeah, I'm taking I think this is Detroit's statement game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Detroit all day, every day.
And lastly, we save the Ravens game for last every week. Rams coming here to take on the Ravens. And last I checked here, still what, that 7.5?
Yep, yes,
7.5 in favor of L.A. My score, 31-21 Rams. I think the Ravens offense gets somewhat back on track. But as we've seen all year, that Ravens defense just cannot be trusted to keep an opposing team down.
I'm total agreement. I got 31-17 Rams. Rams, they can rush the passer, you know, they're good there. And Puka, you know, I mean, they've got a good team.
Rams 38-13, it'll be competitive. Rams will pull away late, put up all the stats you need for your fantasy fun, and LA gets out of here with a win. Ravens dropped 1-5, and hope Lamar's back for Chicago. Vinny, where are you going?
Penn State. We got the second game tonight, 7 o'clock. So, yeah.
Who are you playing at, Clarksville?
Clarkson or? Again.
Oh, boy.
Clarkson again, and by the time we put, come out and put a whooping on somebody.
There you go. Have a safe trip. Good luck to Charlie and the boys. When we come back, ribbon it with Ryan, me, Nolan, Ryan, talking about a baseball playoffs, Philadelphia heartbreak. They got their asses kicked by the Giants, and then they lose a stunner that they'll be talking about in Philly for many years to come.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.